And good morning. I'm Richard Louie in for Chris Jansing on this Friday. 5 months until Election Day, a big setback for the job market this morning has Republicans and Mitt Romney taking aim at President Obama. Those new numbers from the Labor Department show only 69,000 jobs were added last month. That is the fewest in a year and well below the expected 150,000. Now, the unemployment rate also ticked up to 8.2%. Just a short time ago, Mitt Romney issued a statement calling today's jobs report devastating news for American workers and American families. And in the past hour, we heard from House Speaker John Boehner and Republican leaders. Take a listen.
These job numbers are pathetic. And, you know, the American people really deserve better.
It's clear that the policies that we've seen are not working.
All right, I'm joined now by Matt Welsh, editor-in-chief of Reason Magazine, and by Beth Reinhardt, political correspondent for the National Journal. And boy, those numbers, you know, I have to start by asking you, Matt, you know, this is really bad when you look at the numbers. 150,000, we were saying, was expected. We came up with 69,000. Can you spin this, of your team Obama, into something that's positive?
I don't think so, really. I mean, the Obama administration is trying to say right now, well, it's volatile. It's just a monthly number. Let's, you know, pull the periscope back. But when you do that, it looks even worse. Anytime, if you compare every recovery since World War II, at this stage in the recovery, the economy should be cooking with gas. It should be growing by about 6%.
Yeah, but what about the 600,000 people that re-entered the job market that's part of this report?
That's good news, but we need great news at this point, and we expect great news at this point. Every single report, or most of the big projections that the Obama administration has made since the stimulus, all through the first recovery summer and the second, we've undershot performance. At this point, it's starting to become a referendum on economic policy, and it's one that the administration is losing.
Let's pivot on that point you're making about the stimulus to you, Beth. You know, the president saying that the stimulus would keep the unemployment rate below 8%. We clearly see that is going the other way. So we've got 5 months until the election, and can he turn it around?
Well, that remains to be seen. I mean, I think this is obviously a big setback for the president. You know, the last few months, he's had a little bit, you know, a much better report to work with. He's had modest improvement, but still improvement. Now, this is going in the wrong direction, the unemployment rate going up. And so that just reinforces Governor Romney's argument that things are actually getting worse under President Obama, which you know, is pretty devastating.
Well, there might be a good point to be made. In April, the BLS, the Bureau of Labor Statistics, they were saying that 356 out of 372 metro areas here, Matt, have actually seen a decrease in their unemployment rate, and that's above the rate it was a year ago. So is the real opportunity here then for Mitt Romney, then therefore in the rural areas or in the small towns?
I mean, I think just the way that you frame that, it shows that we're kind of scrambling for good news. There was a report 1 month ago in which this meant, no, I don't think any of that's, I think there's a big picture here, and that's why Romney keeps trying
to. That's a big number, though.
But I mean, overall, it is really the economy right now. And every attempt by the Obama administration to pivot on Bain Capital or subsidiary issues, Romney's going to try to steer it back to the economy, because if it's a referendum on the economy and overall guidance, then Obama will lose. If it's a referendum on how Americans like each candidate, then Romney will probably lose.
Beth, so does this then prove that this is going to be the single most defining issue, the issue for November 2012?
You know, voters keep telling us that it is the defining issue. And, you know, these numbers also come at a really good time for Governor Romney. He came off the primary and was a little battered and bruised, and the president's likability numbers were much higher, and he had leads in a lot of the battleground states. But that's changing. You know, the gap between them in likability, the way, you know, people view them personally, is narrowing. And we had several polls this week that showed battleground states, you know, where they're neck and neck. So this is exactly the kind of boost that could help Governor Romney actually take the lead in some of these states.
And a good point there made, Beth, because when we look at the unemployment rate, it is actually in those battleground states, the 12 of them, that it looks at this moment that the unemployment rate is actually better in those states than the national average. So based on what Beth is saying, when you look at where Mitt Romney is investing his time, perhaps that is not assisting him in his work.
True, but it's good, but it's not good enough. The only place in America that's really booming is where I just moved from a week ago, which is Washington, D.C., as Chuck Todd was talking about previously.
If rental rates are any indication, if property values are any indication there, right?
Yes. And so, I mean, even in states that are doing quote unquote well, people are hurting and feeling like policy hasn't worked out for them.
Is this largely out of the United States control, though, just to take it outside of what we're seeing? We're watching this month to month. We are saying that, you know, as we get closer to November, each and every month when we get this unemployment rate, it becomes more and more important. So, Matt, is it out of our control, though, when we see what's happening in Europe? We've got issues, of course, of the Eurozone.
We have a lot of external factors, and the Eurozone could definitely hurt us, but we have a lot that's under our control, and we're just not tackling it. The housing crisis underneath the financial bubble bursting in 2008 has not been significantly addressed. And until we address that and let that market clear, we're going to be living month to month like this and being perpetually disappointed.
Yeah, 11% unemployment in the Eurozone, 24% in Spain alone. That certainly is going to be an overhang. Okay, hang on a second here, Matt, as well. Beth, stick with us for a second. I want to bring in Rami, economic policy advisor Kevin Hassett. Kevin, thanks for being here. You know, Alan Krueger, the chairman of the White House Council of Economic Advisors, was on the Daily Rundown. You might have just seen it, but here's what he said for everybody else.
The president said last February, when we had a very good report, that the numbers are going to go up and down. That's the nature of the economy. We still face a fragile world economy.
You know, now Krueger also points out that we've had 27 straight months of job growth. And when you hear that, what's your reaction to the jobs report? Do we need to do more from the, do we need to get more help, rather, from the Fed? You've talked about quantitative easing or QE3 to try to get the economy moving again, jobs specifically.
Yeah, I know. You know, I've been friends with Alan Krueger. I've known him for a long time. He was very somber, and I think that that was appropriate because this is a really terrible report. The fact is that the economy is just inching forward, and we're very close to a scary summer. There's a big election in Greece that could well panic financial markets. And so right now, everything is not where we need it. And so absolutely, we should be talking about policies that we can think of that'll turn this economy around.
Should the Fed get into this? Should we see QE3?
You know, quantitative easing is a very complicated thing. I've been opposed to quantitative easing in the past. I think that what we need to do is look at what we can control on fiscal policy. Mm-hmm. The fact is that we've got lots and lots of big problems. We've got, you know, massive long-run deficits. We've got the highest corporate tax on earth. We've got things that really are chasing activity overseas. I think that right now what we need to do after all of the monetary stimulus we've had is we need to go after the big fiscal problems, the things that we've been ignoring for a few years.
You know, as the economic policy advisor for Romney, you know, you're very aware of him saying that he'll bring the unemployment rate down to 6%. Economist Peter Morici estimates how we might get there. He was saying we need to add 13 million jobs over 3 years, or about 362,000 jobs a month. He's also saying that we need to have GDP at 4 to 5% for several years. Right now, we're looking at, you know, hovering around 2%. When you see this sort of suggestion by this economist, is this the way Mitt Romney sees it? And how might we do that?
You know, the fact is that what we need to do is make a list of our problems and start knocking them down one by one. So, you know, we're the highest corporate tax place on earth. So when manufacturers in the U.S. are building a new plant, you know, their first choice is to build it in Ireland. You know, we need to fix that. And I think that as you've also noted in the show and in the earlier show in the last hour, you know, corporations have a lot of money sitting on the sidelines. If we can give them reasons for optimism about the future, then we can see an explosion.
Kevin, how do we
growth.
Do that? I mean, we make that point. Mm-hmm. $1 trillion, some say, sitting on the shelf, some say more than that. How do we get in that push-pull situation? How do we get them to spend that money?
Right. Well, it's a difficult problem, but you certainly you're not going to accomplish that by pillaring American business. The fact is that right now there's so much money on the sidelines, in part because we have such a high corporate rate, and so people aren't sure whether they want to invest here, but in part because of we've got all these unsustainable policies, and people don't really know how that's going to work out. You know, if you look at the present value of the shortfall for all of the promises we've made, it's probably something like $100 trillion. That's like the money that we've promised to spend in the future that we don't have revenue to cover. If businesses pay the same fraction of that $100 trillion that they normally pay in taxes, then really the book value of American businesses right now would be negative.
Kevin,
so tax increases aren't going to do it. So why would they invest into a climate like that?
I see the point you're making, but does that get us to the 362,000 jobs that would be needed month to month?
You know, historically, if you go back and look at what happens when the pop finally begins, when people decide to be optimistic and start growing again, then absolutely you can get numbers like that every month. It's something that's quite common in the midst of a strong recovery. We've not had a strong recovery yet, certainly not. But if we see one, then that kind of number would be typical.
I want to shift gears just a little, but this is definitely in your bailiwick here. Solyndra, Mitt Romney attacking mm-hmm. Solyndra funding yesterday as risky and part of supporting Obama funders, which has not been proven, as you know. But mm-hmm. let's take a look at this. Listen to this.
This building, this half a billion dollar taxpayer investment, represents a serious conflict of interest on the part of the president and his team. It's also a symbol of how the president thinks about free enterprise. Free enterprise to the president means taking money from the taxpayers and giving it freely to his friends.
So he's lambasting the president here. Not mm-hmm. necessarily a clear issue for Romney, given he's called for increases in Fed spending in the past for R&D and diversifying energy supply. You also know here that he encouraged loans to a burgeoning tech industry that also, in some cases, went bankrupt. So Romney's policy here, is he for government assistance in diversifying energy supply?
You know, Governor Romney is in favor of, first of all, in you know, subsidizing research and development, because research and development is something that helps produce growth in the future. He's in favor of an energy policy that is, you know, aggressive and pursues all economical alternatives. I think that the difference between Solyndra and the kind of policy you'll see out of Governor Romney is the very, very narrow picking of a winner. You know, I think that Governor Romney's perspective is that what we need to do is make an attractive playing field that draws the players onto the field and then sit back and see who wins.
So are losers acceptable then in such a policy, in this case Solyndra not turning out to be a winner?
Excuse me, I didn't hear you.
So are losers acceptable in this policy that sounds like you're supporting as well?
You know, if we sort of say, hey, we're going to have a big subsidy for Kevin Hassett, then that's something that we would oppose. If we're going to say we're going to support research and development because we know the social return to that activity is very high, and then, some of the projects will succeed and some of them will fail.
Kevin, great conversation. Thanks for stopping by today. Appreciate
it. Thank you.
All righty. Matt Welsh and Beth Reinhardt are still with us, and let's go to you, Beth. You know, Solyndra, we're just talking about that. Adding to the details here, former Massachusetts Governor Bill Weld, a Romney supporter, he was hired by Solyndra for help as well. And when you look at the Solyndra case, Romney's out there speaking out about this. Is this a clear win for Romney?
Right. You know, there are some lobbyists that were involved in the Solyndra deal that have ties to Governor Romney. I think this is still a vulnerability for the president. I mean, it's an glaring example of where his economic stimulus plan, you know, went wrong. And so I think we're going to continue to hear about it.
Now, when we were looking at this here, Matt, as we were watching the story yesterday, there was some worry evidently from the White House about this happening, that they might try to stop it if they had heard about Mitt Romney going to Solyndra and making this speech. But by bringing this up, does he sort of redirect the emphasis that the Obama team has been making on his background in private equity?
Maybe. I mean, ultimately, Solyndra, people kind of understand what happened here. It was an attempt, as Kevin Hassett was saying,
right,
of picking a winner in the green jobs field. And this has been a big promise that Obama made during the campaign and afterwards. We're going to somehow magically create 3 to 5 million green jobs. And this was voodoo economics from the beginning, and it continues to be now. Unfortunately, Romney can't make a clear case of we should not subsidize business, period, because his record hasn't been like that. He has picked winners in the past, too. I wish he'd make that case, because there's a strong case to be made. We don't have the money. It's not the government's business to do this. And then let's go forward from there. Whether he'll be able to focus in that way remains to be seen.
It's clear we need more ideas and more action. We're looking at numbers at 69,000, no matter which side you're standing on there. Appreciate it so much. Thanks, Matt. Appreciate it as well, Beth, for your time today.